It's not really for Erev Yom Kippur, but there's a bunch of announcements that Mrs. Berkowitz is going to make at the end, just because we have so many people here together, so we want to just give you some information. But I'll just start off by saying I don't need to introduce Mrs. Ravenstein. Mrs. Ravenstein is Mrs. Ravenstein, but I'll just...
I can just start right
in. No, you can't. I just want to say one thing, because I think that she needs a little bit of credit. There are certain halachos when we pick a shliach tzibur on the Yom Ha'aretz as who's going to daven for us, because they represent who we are, and we hope that they'll be a good shliach for us. So we're obviously not davening tonight, but every single year we come, we don't even have a question of who is going to give over shir Erev Yom Kippur, and hands down, we always say, of course, Mrs. Ravenstein. So I have to say that on behalf of everybody here, Mrs. Ravenstein, I know, is busier than busy, and as many times as we thank her, it is a tremendous chus for us that we have her to come speak to us tonight. Thank you all for coming. Gemar chasima tova.
Why I agreed to give this shiur tonight, because we had a very busy day in Beis Yaakov, Baruch Hashem. I said, I can't say no to Elite. My daughters told me, Ima, you always talk about the same thing, and you tell the same stories. You need to come up with something new. So I prepared a totally new shiur for tonight. And one of the hardest parts of preparing a shiur is preparing the introduction. Sometimes when I prepare the entire shiur and then go back and prepare the introduction. People who teach public speaking will tell you you have between 15 and 20 seconds to grab the audience and tell them that what you have to say is important. I just pretty much used that up. But tonight, I don't think we need an introduction. We're 24 hours before Yom Kippur, less. It's Erev Yom Kippur. That is the introduction, period. Yesterday, Rabbi Zweig shared with me the following story. The story took place in Poland about 150 years ago. The story is about the Czerkowa Rebbe, which I probably just pronounced wrong. That's okay. Hopefully he'll forgive me. A man once visited the Rebbe, and said, Rebbe, I need a bracha. My son is on the list of people to be drafted to the army, and this coming Monday, Be'ezras Hashem, he's going to have a doctor appointment. I need a bracha that the doctor should determine him unfit for service in the army. And the Rebbe looked at him and he said, listen, it's Erev Shabbos right now. Erev Shabbos, I really can't deal with it. I have to tish tonight. There's things going on. I have to prepare for Shabbos properly. Come back to me after the tish tonight. So the man came over to him after the tish later that night. And he said, Rebbe, I'm the person. I need to talk to you. My son has this doctor appointment. I need a bracha that he should be declared unfit for service in the army. And the Rebbe said, you know what, right now, like we just finished the tish, I'm very, very tired. My head is not in the right place. Come back to me, Matzei Shabbos. So the man came back to him, Matzei Shabbos, and he said, Rebbe, I need a bracha. My son has, you know, this doctor appointment on Monday, and I need them to declare him unfit for service in the army. The Rebbe said, you know, it was just a long Shabbos. I'm very, very tired. Could you come back tomorrow? So the man came back tomorrow. Same story happened. And finally, the Rebbe said to him, you know, I really can't give you such a bracha. Because who says that serving in the army is necessarily a bad thing? You're part of the country, you should serve your country, you should be part of contributing to the country. I can't give you such a bracha. The Hasidim who were watching this happen asked the Rebbe, why did you do that? The Rebbe said, the reason I turned him away is because it was clear to me that he was a fake. He was a fraud. So the Hasidim asked him the obvious question, Rebbe Head, did you know that he was a fraud? He said, because every day is getting closer and closer to this appointment that he thinks is critical to his son not being taken to the army, he should have been becoming more and more desperate every day. But he was coming to me with the same little story every day. I have a son, and he's going to the army, and he's going to have a doctor appointment. It's a fake. And he said, if we think about our, let's say, tefillah, 30 days ago, 20 days ago, 9 days ago, 4 days ago, is it different? It's real. There's something real happening. Is my tefillah reflect that there's something real happening? Every year, I speak to my grandmother, Baruch Hashem, Erev Yom Kippur. And every year she cries when she starts to give me a bracha. Every year. This year she got it in early. I spoke to her Erev Rosh Hashanah. She cried Erev Rosh Hashanah. She cries, I cry. My kids walk into the room like, oh, you're talking to granny? Why does my grandmother cry Erev Rosh Hashanah, Erev Yom Kippur? Because to my grandmother, it's so real. When she says, I Kadosh Baruch Hu should make it that I should be here next year giving you this bracha, she means it. That's my introduction. Now I want to switch gears. I want to take this talk and I want to take it a completely different direction. Do you know how many phone calls I have gotten in the last 2 weeks from people saying that they're afraid of Aseres Yemei Tshuva? Do you know how many phone calls I have gotten in the last 2 weeks from people saying that I'm just waiting to see how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish me this year? I am not saying this is not a serious time of year. They are, after all, called the Yamim Noraim. Nora, or I'm not saying this is not a serious time of year. This is a serious time of year. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about fear of what a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to do to me. Fear like I'm just so nervous that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to clap me on the head this year. What I want to talk about is where I think Lefi Veri Anias Daiti, this insecurity is coming from. Where does it come from that we think this time of year is intense because we're waiting to see how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to whack us? Where does it come from that we're sitting at this time of year thinking how Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to be punishing me for all the things that I did wrong? And I think it's rooted in two places. I think it's rooted in two misconceptions. I think it's rooted in a misconception in the way that we perceive how a Kadosh Baruch Hu thinks about us. And I think it's rooted in a misconception of how we are supposed to look at a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And tonight I want to address both of those things. It takes a lot for me to lose it, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. But I lost it on Rosh Hashanah night. Is that a good night to lose it? It's a good night. You're going to pick any night, why not Rosh Hashanah, you know? We're sitting around the table, and one of my daughters said, I'm so nervous. I said, what are you nervous about? She said, because I do so many things wrong, like Hashem's just going to punish me. And that's the din that we're waiting, that's waiting for me on Rosh Hashanah. You know, previous generations weren't good enough. Obviously, I'm not going to be good enough, so why are we even trying? Like, it's not possible. So Baruch Hashem, I don't often raise my voice. So I think the people sitting around my table were like a little bit surprised when I got very animated. I said, what are you talking about? Do you know how chaviv you are to a Kaddish Baruch Hu? If a Kaddish Baruch Hu wanted a world full of malachim, he would have and could have created a world full of malachim. Guess what? He didn't. Guess why? That's not what he wanted. And if he didn't create a world of malachim, he doesn't expect us to be malachim. Kadosh Baruch Hu is not looking for perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for growth. Can I say that again like 50 times? I won't. I'll say it once. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking for perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for growth. Do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know who you are? Do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what your challenges are and what you're fighting against and when it's hard and why it's hard? Do you think HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't know what pushes your buttons? Do you think he doesn't know what he sent into your life? Yeah, you can look back 100 and 200 years and you can think, wow, I could never be that. But I want to say something. I have a feeling that if great people from 100 and 200 years ago were here, they would look at you and say, wow. In this generation, I don't know if I could be that. We have to believe in what exists within every single Jew, within every single one of us. In Yeshaya HaNavi's first nevuah to Klal Yisrael, Perek Vav in Sefer Yeshayahu, the Navi describes the scene in which he observes the Srafim, types of malachim, being Mekadei Shem Hashem. And then the Navi says, "Vaya'af elai," excuse me, "Echad min hasrafim." One of the srafim, says the Navi, says Yeshaya flew over to me, "Uvayado ritzpa," and in his hand was a hot coal. And we know that it was a hot coal because the Navi says, "B'melkachayim lakach me'al hamizbeach." He took it with tongs from on the mizbeach. It was so hot that the malach couldn't take it, so to speak, with his hand. That coal that was on the Mizbeach. Rav Hirsch explains magnificently that the ritzpah, that the coal that looked like it was dying down, but deep inside was full of fire, represents all of us. You know, like if you ever made a barbecue with coals, not only can you not really cook when the coals are burning with fire, but you need to wait until the fire dies down. And at that point, the coals, which look like they're just black rocks, are actually hot enough to cook on. That's when you put the food on. Says Rav Hirsch, when the fire dies down, but the coal is still hot, that's us. The ritzpah represents the unique neshama inside of every Jew. And says Rav Hirsch, even when that flame, even when that spark inside of you is not bursting with a flame and it's only smoldering, it is still hotter than the malach. Yes, malachim are perfect. Why are malachim perfect? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created them perfect. But they are also omdim. They stand in one place. They are exactly as they were created. And we are holchim. We are not here to be perfect. We are here to be moving. We are here to be growing. Rav Pinkus writes that in that way we can be greater than malachim. Malachim amrkadei shem Hashem b'shmei maru. But we, says Rav Pinkus, and this is his lashon, we do it even better. Because we're makadesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu here. Shkaich, you're makadesh shem Hashem in Shamayim, where it's clear as day that the Ribbono Shel Olam is in front of you and running the world. That's just part of your environment. It's like you're in the perfume store and you smell like perfume. Shkaich. You're standing in the perfume store. That's the environment. It's the nature of where you are. But we are Mekadei Shem Hashem here. How? With the choices that we make in our lives. We recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melo Chol Haaretz Kavodo. He's right here with us. In this world. Right here in this world. Right here in this world, with the hundreds of images being flashed in front of us, living and working in environments that are keneged Torah values in dress, in speech, in everything. Here. We are Mekadei Shem Hashem here. That's incredible. You're not supposed to be a malach. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted you to be a malach, he would have created you a malach. He made you human. He's not looking for perfection. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is looking for growth. And it's true. It's true that sometimes we have to be fanned back into a flame. It's true that sometimes you can't even see the fire burning inside. But that, says Rapersh, is the message to Yeshaya. That even when the coal looks extinguished, there's still heat within it. Yeshaya's mission was to revive Klal Yisrael, was to use his speech to fan them back into flames, to bring the inner spark back alive. And that, to a certain extent, is also the goal of Yom Kippur. Take the neshama, which sometimes looks like it's sleeping, and reconnect it. Give it its electricity. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew when he created us that we wouldn't be perfect all the time. And he didn't expect us to be. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not, quote unquote, angry with you for not being perfect or for making many, many mistakes. We all do, myself included. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not looking for perfection. He's looking for growth. It's not what Hashem expected. And let me ask you a question. You think HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a human being knowing you were going to be human, knowing that human beings make mistakes, by definition, we're human, we make mistakes, knowing that we would live in this world, and then expect us to be perfect? Expect that we would never make mistakes? Expect that we would live like Malachim? I don't think so. I think if HaKadosh Baruch Hu expected us to be perfect, he would have made us that way. He didn't expect us to be perfect. And if he didn't expect us to be perfect, he's not going to penalize us for not being perfect. Doesn't make sense. And I think, honestly, the very concept of tshuva teaches us that point. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the reality, the possibility for tshuva before he created a human being. Yes, I'm going to create a human being who will make mistakes, and he will have a path to correction. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us this unique opportunity, which doesn't exist in almost any other human relationship, to repair a relationship or to repair wrongdoing to the extent that it is ke'ilu, it never existed. It doesn't exist in any other relationship, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us that gift. Think about that gift. And to quote Rabbi Emanuel Bernstein from his book entitled Tshuva, Tshuva out of love, is not with the begins not with the person's love for Hashem, but with the person's recognition of Hashem's love for him. I want to say that again. Tshuva begins not with the person's love for Hashem, but with the person's recognition of Hashem's love for him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the reality and the possibility of tshuva. You know why? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves all of us. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu never expected us to be perfect to begin with. And that's why he gave us the possibility of reconnection and return. There's really a tremendous danger, I think, in thinking that HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects us to be perfect. Because it's exactly what my daughter said. Because if he expects us to be perfect, and I've done all these things wrong, and I'm never going to be perfect, and I might as well stop now. Why would you even try if you can't succeed anyway? Why would you put in any effort if you're never going to be good enough? Kadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't have done that to us. Why would you want to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu if you just imagine him waiting to smack you as hard as possible? Can't be. That's why I think that misconception is so dangerous. And that's why I think that we have to stop beating ourselves up for not loving Hashem enough and start focusing on how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. So we talked about misconception number one. Misconception number one, I think, that we have about the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us. I want to address misconception number two. Misconception number two is the misconception that I think we have regarding the way that we look at Hashem. The Haftorah that we are going to read in about 36 hours, Be'ezras Hashem. The Haftorah that we read, a little more than that, maybe 40 hours. The Haftorah that we read on Yom Kippur morning is taken from Sefer Yeshaya. It spans from the middle of Perek Nun Zayin to the middle of Perek Nun Ches. Many of you are likely familiar with the introductory Lashon Solu Solu Panu Derech, the Navi Yeshaya's call for Klal Yisrael to do tshuva, to clear a path towards Hashem. But I want to focus on a set of psukim later in the Haftorah. Yeshaya HaNavi is told to address the people. HaKadosh Baruch Hu encourages Yeshaya HaNavi to speak loudly and strongly, not to hold back his voice. Call out with a blast like the sound of a shofar. Give them mussar, and here's the mussar you should tell them. And I want you to listen to these psukim, and I want you to think about what is the problem here. This is the mussar that Yeshaya HaNavi is giving to the people. Va'osi yom yom yidrashun. They seek me every day. They seek me, Hashem, every day. V'da'as drachai yachpatsun. They want to know the ways of, they want to know my ways. Kagoy asher tztaka asa. They are like a nation that did righteousness. U'mishpat elokav lo azav. And they did not abandon the justice, the laws of their God. Yishaluni mishpatei tzedek kirgas elokim yachpatsun. Like a people who asked me the way, asked me what the laws are, want to know the right thing to do, and want to be close to Hashem. You sound like Musar? I don't know about you, but I think that if Yeshaya HaNavi was standing giving us that Musar, we would look at him and he would say, like, I actually think we're doing pretty well. We want to be close to Hashem. We want to reach out to Hashem. We want to know what's the right thing to do. Why is there Musar? What's the problem? The Mefarshim explain that the key to understanding the problem is one letter. One letter. And the letter is kaf. They are kigoy. They are like a nation that wants to, etc., etc. But not really. How do I know it's not real? Read the next pasuk. In the next pasuk, Yeshaya speaks as if in the words of Klal Yisrael. As if Klal Yisrael were asking the following. Lama tzamnu, why did we fast velo ra'isa aninu nafshenu and you didn't look at the affliction of our souls? How can we fast it and you didn't respond to us? Velo teida, aninu nafshenu lo teida, and you don't know the affliction of our souls. How can we fast if you didn't see us? How can we tried to fix ourselves and you didn't respond? The Navi is addressing the way in which Klal Yisrael look to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Navi says that the attitude of Klal Yisrael is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I did what I was supposed to do. Why didn't you do what you were supposed to do? I davened, why didn't you answer? I gave tzedakah, why didn't you bless me with lots of wealth? I did, why didn't you? Says the Navi. You asked shailas, but you didn't listen to answers. You acted like you were interested, but you weren't. You acted like you wanted to do what was right, but you weren't really interested in a relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You were interested in getting what you want. Can you imagine for a minute You have a friend who calls you up and she says, you know what, we really haven't spent any time together in such a long time. I think it's like mamish since high school. We haven't spent time together in such a long time. Let's get together. So you make up a date, Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, you meet her at Coffee Bean, you're sitting there and you're talking over your coffees, and 5 minutes into the conversation, you realize she has absolutely no interest in talking to you. She's interested in getting a job in the same office that you happen to work in. Now how do you feel? It's violating. When I teach these psukim to my class in Yeshaya in 11th grade, I read an article, and the title of the article is, God is not a vending machine. You get it? Our relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu is not such, I put in the coins, you provide. I put in the coins, you provide. Our relationship with a Kodesh Baruch Hu is a relationship of trust. This is not an ancient pagan world where I want rain, so I bring sacrifice to the rain god and God provides rain. I need sun, so I bring sacrifice to the sun god and God provides sun. This is a completely different concept that Paro Mitzrayim couldn't understand. A completely different concept. You can have a relationship with the one, single, only master of the universe. Relationship. Trust him. He's not out to get you. Our relationship, though, in the way that we look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is not what am I trying to get out of him. It's what kind of relationship can I have with him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never out to get us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly what our abilities are. He knows exactly what our imperfections are. And he doesn't expect perfection. He expects growth. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu is constantly, over the course of our lives, paving paths for us to allow us to become the people we have the potential to be. Does that mean he will take me down the path I would like to script for myself? I can't tell you that's true, my own life included. But does that mean that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is taking me somewhere where I will develop into something bigger than maybe I would have imagined otherwise? Yeah. And I want to tell you something. I think that when we know that, I think that when we live with that consciousness, I think it changes the way that we experience life, not just the way that we approach Yom Kippur, but I think it changes the way we experience life. I'll tell you a story of something that just happened to me the past couple of months. This is a shugga story. I was expecting a very significant amount of money refunded to me. A very significant amount of money refunded to me. And when I saw in my statement that it was deposited into my account, it was less than a third of what it was supposed to be. Okay, it's not a big deal. There was like a little number on the bottom of the letter that I got in the mail 2 days later that said a number that you could call, so I called the number. I waited on the phone for 47 minutes. 47 minutes after waiting on the phone, the person picked up the phone and he said, oh, I'm so sorry, we actually can't help you here. You need to call this other number. So I called this other number. And finally someone came to the phone and said, oh, I'm so sorry, you need to call this other number, which I subsequently realized was the first number I had called. So I called back the first number and spent another 50-something minutes on the phone. Let me fast forward. 9 hours later, the entire day, 9 hours later, I finally made contact with somebody in some office. Everybody on every computer screen could see that I didn't get the money I was supposed to get. Nobody could tell me why. Nobody. Finally, I made contact with one office that was able to answer this question. And they said, oh, that's because the money was taken by such and such a government agency because you owe a federal loan. And I said, that's strange because that federal loan was discharged 3 years ago. We proved that we don't need to pay that loan. So I got somebody else on the phone who explained that 3 years ago when we finished that paperwork, the way that it works is that every year afterwards, they send you a letter that you have to fill out and prove that the same qualifying information still applies, and so you still do not need to pay that loan. And after 3 years of doing that, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, they say, okay, fine, I guess it's true, you don't really need to pay that loan. So they said, we sent you a letter, and it was returned to sender, and you never responded. I said, you sent me a letter, and I never responded. This is year number three. I did this 3 years ago. You got my first letter, you sent me the first letter, I sent it back. You sent me the second letter, I sent it back. How did you not get my third letter? What do you mean it was returned to sender? They said, oh, we sent it to such and such address. I said, that address? I haven't lived in that house for 11 years. You're telling me that the last 2 years you sent it to the right address, and this year you sent it to the wrong address. So he said, well, yes, we do have your address where you actually live. Yeah, I see that in the computer, but because we sent it one time and it was returned to sender, we sent it to the other address, even though you know I don't live there for the last 11 years, and you never responded. So the loan was reinstated, and we took the money. So I said, oh my gosh, this is so simple, no problem. Send me the letter now, I'll fill out the form, I'll send it back to you. And she said, no, ma'am, I'm so sorry, you don't understand. Once it's reinstated, you have to start the three-year process over again. So I said, oh, hold on a minute. You're telling me that because you sent a letter to the wrong address and therefore I never got it, I have to start a three-year process over again and you just stole X amount of money from me? I'm sorry, ma'am, but yes, there's nothing we can do about that. I was sitting in my office downstairs and I'm on the phone with this person and I'm literally like looking at the phone like, is this for real? And I stopped myself. I mean, it took me 9 hours. I'm no tzaddikas. It took me 9 hours, okay? I was like, oh, hold on a minute. This is a setup. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's setting me up. How am I going to respond? I can't tell exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to gain from this nisayon, but this is clearly a nisayon. Is this not the most bizarre situation you ever heard? You sent an address to the wrong place. You had my right address on file. You anyway sent it to the wrong place. And I have to start a three-year process over because the person in your office doesn't know how to click something in the computer? Does this make any sense to you? When it is so weird, it is so obvious. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show. And I want to tell you something. From that minute forward, that it clicked in my brain. It took me 9 hours. It clicked in my brain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is setting me up for something. How can I grow from this? The whole situation diffused. I started saying to the lady on the phone, oh, okay, I get it. Listen, I get it. Thank you. Thanks so much for your help. I really appreciate it. P.S., by the way, I got the check in the mail today. Long story, and I won't go into that. More paperwork, more phone calls. When you live with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in your life, it changes the way you experience life. It's just what it is. Life is different when we see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When it's not about HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving me exactly what I want, that's not the chayim that we're asking for necessarily when we say Zachrinu L'chayim. It's about chayim like Ve'atem Advekim B'Hashem Elokeichem Chayim Kulchem Hayom. What's chayim? Chayim is living with the Rabbono Shel Olam. Chayim is trusting the Rabbono Shel Olam, even if I don't get the check in the mail. Life is a different life when I see HaKadosh Baruch Hu running my life. So let's go back to the beginning. We are 25 hours before, 24 hours, less than 24 hours, 22 hours before Yom Kippur. These are the Yamim No Ra'im. And there is a certain trepidation about the way that we approach these days. It's real. But it's not because of Kadosh Baruch Hu is out to get us. It's because of Kadosh Baruch Hu loves us. And if a relationship is meaningful, if any relationship is meaningful, if any relationship is important to me, then repairing that relationship is important to me. It's not trepidation because I'm afraid HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to smack me on the head harder this year. It's trepidation because I care about this relationship and I'm invested in it. And putting that relationship back into a place of priority in my life is important. Tomorrow night, and for the 25 hours that follow, we shut everything down so that we can tune into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's the Shabbos Shabbason. We don't just turn off the malacha that we do on Shabbos, we turn off extra, we turn off gashmias, we become, so to speak, malachim. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't expect us to live that way 354 days a year. When we turn everything off and you tune into the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, allow yourself to be overwhelmed by the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't experience this as women, but on Yom Kippur night, men wear talisim. It's the only night of the year that they officially wear a talis in shul. A little bit Simchas Torah, but not the same. And we don't make a bracha on that talis. Says the Ari, the reason you don't make a bracha on that talis is because it's a borrowed talis, and you don't make a bracha on a borrowed talis. It's a Kadosh Baruch Hu's talis. Kadosh Baruch Hu wraps you in his love on Yom Kippur. My bracha to all of us is that we should feel the embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just on Yom Kippur, but all year. May we be zocha to lead the kinds of lives that are real chayim, where we live with HaKadosh Baruch Hu constantly, and may we be zocha to fill our lives with the kinds of things that makes HaKadosh Baruch Hu proud. Gemar Chasima Tova.